earlier that unfortunately I couldn't make out anything of their signal other than that they were doubling. So the person who was trying to tag base when Chet attempted to tag base, please try again.
Yeah, this is WA2RAS. My turn?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, very good. Great comments by everybody that that knew Andy well. And if you knew Andy, you loved Andy. He was a really wonderful friend. Like almost no other, he was a great talker. I loved his long phone calls, which we had usually a couple of times a week. And he always had something interesting to say. As has been pointed out, he didn't have a bad word, really, for anybody, even people that didn't do nice things to him. Was there a drop? And has been pointed out, he slept out to New Jersey very recently and unloaded a ton of stuff from the guy he worked with, who was also a ham. And the idea was to the idea is to sell the stuff for the man's family, and this is in New Jersey. I mean, just so, and he spent hours and hours doing this. He also had help, but this is the kind of man he was. He was a regular on the 75 meter AM carrier net. It's also a regular on our Thursday night 2 meter AM net, and on Friday's vintage sideband net, which is henceforth going to be called the WA2CDL Memorial Vintage Net. Andy was a big fan of vintage radios. Anyway, thanks for running the net, Roy. Whatever this is. AC2GS, this is WA2RAS.
Okay, thank you very much. This is just a special episode of the Technical Net. I thought it was a lovely place to hold something like this, because he would frequent our net just with individual insight and with Andy's Corner. So I thought that this would be a nice place to park this memorial to Andy. And it's good to hear from you, Jeff. Usually I used to hear from you when I listened in to the 2 meter AM net. I remember those days and listening to Hal yell and scream about sundry things.
Yeah, Hal was very good at that. If he wasn't dressing up as a pirate or Moses, he was yelling and screaming about things. You're absolutely right, Roy.
Yes, indeed. I actually saw him in person in the pirate outfit. I was at that ham fest, and I was outside where they were collecting tickets, and this guy who looked a bit like a homeless man wandered over, and I recognized his voice, and I pieced together, because it was not the best pirate outfit. It really looked like a very creative version of a pirate's outfit. I missed the Moses outfit entirely, but I caught the pirate.
What wasn't bad. I think Moses was better, with the staff and the walkie-talkie. Even better was a bunch of us got together when he had the plane in the driveway, and we were all on TV chanting to support Hal with his cockamamie airplane in the driveway trick.
Yes, indeed. Those were crazier days. The repeater is quite saner these days. But thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. We all have stories to tell. That's an indication of a man who kind of touched all of our lives. I don't think he understood how people cherished his friendship. I don't think he had that inner perception, which is probably why ultimately he was a very humble guy. Unfortunately, I know of people who are quite clever and quite smart, who apparently their parents drilled into them that they were quite clever and quite smart and don't want any of us to forget that. And they could be a bit of a pain in the backside. But Andy was never that. Andy always was a humble guy, but a smart, clever guy. So we're all here to talk about that. Thank you, Jeff. Anyone want to go next?
VDH.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I never met Andy, but I've heard a lot of things about him indirectly. SUNY Farmingdale used to have a work-study program with Airborne Instrument Laboratories back in the late 70s. Early 80s, and I heard indirectly from a lot of those students the guidance that Andy would give. I think Andy was working there as a regular technician during that time, and he would interact with a lot of the work-study students and gave them quite a bit of guidance and practical tips. And I used to love the way that Andy would take out all the nosebleed mathematics from his presentations and give a nice, straight, simple explanation on Andy's Corner. He really had a gift.
Yeah, I agree. It was always a pleasure. I never stopped cajoling and nagging him because, I don't think he understood how much we loved him and how much we loved when he joined us here. So he was always a little bit trepidation. You know, he didn't want to screw it up. He had a great deal of respect for Dick, may rest in peace. And I think he took the technical net as some kind of hallowed ground. But I cherish the reality that I met him many, 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 many times. One of the things that I'm sad about, this is unfortunately the third version of this I've done on the repeater. The first one was for John, KC2WGB. The second was for Dick, K2RIW. And unfortunately, although I knew them and I talked to them, we never actually got to meet. But I certainly did meet Andy a lot, and I even got the tour of his house. Amazing thing that it is. So thank you very much, John. Anyone else want to go next?
N2ZG. W2BZ.
Well, N2ZEG first, and then we'll take you, Rich.
Hi, good evening. Name here is Phil. Just a quick cute story about the first time I went to Andy's house to help him with that aforementioned tower and beam that he did get up. See if I can make it quick, because it was quite an adventure. I'll never forget it. It was a Saturday or something last spring, and I'd had to go out, and Andy had called me. He said, "Do you have a few minutes? I need some help changing the mast. It's a little heavy." I said, "Yeah, I don't want you climbing the ladder. Let me come over." And I'd spoken to Andy for a few years after moving to the Little Neck Douglasville area on this repeater, and then, of course, joining. But I've never met him. So he said, "Well, come on over." He says, "You'll help me do a little work? Yeah, I'll show you a couple things." I said, "Great. You know, always want to learn. You know, I learned a lot just speaking to him on the radio, so I guess in person it would be even better. So we get there. I switch them for him. Of course, I leave my cell phone in the car, and I had an appointment with my wife for an hour later, and I'm saying, honey, I'll be home. It's quick. I'm just switching the mask. He's not far. It'll be really quick. I promise you. So he doesn't like the mask. I take it out. We're done in like 15 minutes. Let me let it drop here. So he says, well, before you go, let me show you around. I said, okay. So he takes me in the garage, and anyone who's been to Andy's house is going to follow along with this very well. So left side of the garage, right side of the garage, it's all full. He's moving in and out. I don't know how he's not tripping over things. He's pointing to these unique pieces of equipment. He's reciting their history, how he acquired them, what's wrong with them, how he's going to fix them, if he'll ever get to it. And, of course, yes, I do have a couple of pieces of equipment in the house of detention myself. We go from his garage. He takes me outside. There's two sheds behind the main tower. He opens them up. They're full of equipment top to bottom. I can't believe it. He's explaining now what he's going to do with above his garage. He's going to have the tree guys come and cut it down. And he's going through the whole thing. And now he says, oh, let me take you in the house. I said, Andy, I really got to go. He said, let me take you in the house. It'll be quick. 5 minutes, I promise. 5 minutes. I'll let it drop again. Hold on. We get in the house. We go to the basement. Shows me the left side of the basement. Again, just like a cave full of equipment, and he's pointing out stuff left and right. I said, all right, Andy, it was really great. I appreciate it. I have to go. He says, oh, one more. I said, where else can you possibly have equipment in the house? He goes, upstairs, all the way upstairs. So we go all the way upstairs. He shows me all the equipment again. We come downstairs. Before you go, I need to show you one thing. He pulls out these huge books. These were the plans that he used for the subway communication. And he's explaining to me what he's doing and what he's going to do, what he's going through. And he gets about 3 minutes in, and I say, Andy, you got to stop. I went to school for a long time. I'm an attorney. I'm great with electronics. I'm an extra. You lost me after the first 2 minutes. So he gives me the two-minute dumbed-down version, which made perfect sense after that, which he always had a knack for. I think someone mentioned that before. He was fantastic at doing that. Anyway, long story short, 3 hours now have gone by. I've totally missed my appointment. Let me let it drop again. I come home, my wife completely rips into me. You've been gone for 3 hours. You said it would take less than an hour. What are you doing? I explained. I said, well, you know, Andy's got a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's got history behind him. He's great to talk to. Really, you could just sit there all day and just talk to Andy. You really could. So I don't know if she believed me or she didn't believe me. End of the story, about a month or so later, he invites me to a fireworks display at one of the local country clubs. I bring my wife. Here comes Andy riding down the block on his bicycle. Very engaging, as you all know. Immediately goes up to my wife, introduces himself, starts to talk. End of the night, my wife and I walk back to the car. We get in the car. She looks at me. She goes, why didn't you tell me? I said, I tried to tell you. She goes, he's so personable. I said, that's Andy. I tried to tell you. So I didn't get divorced, I guess, is the moral of the story. But I did find a very interesting friend in Andy. God bless him.
Yes, indeed, Phil. Thank you for that. God bless him. One of the many, 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 many pluses of Andy is he was the least jaded individual I ever met. He was excited about all of this as much as he might have been the first day he discovered it all. I did not sense any cynicism or any degree of being tired with anything. You know, unfortunately, his common history of our hobby is a lot of people who kind of fall in and out and in and out of love with it. They leave the hobby, they come back, they leave, they come back. Andy never left, and he never lost his love for the hobby. And so thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. I had a very similar experience. He was going to give me a lift home from, I think, Ham Radio University after we did a presentation on calibration equipment, and he just had to show me every nook and cranny in that house of his to my repeated amazement.
Did anything like it, and I doubt I ever will. But it was definitely an event, and he was as unique as that house is. And to ZDG back to net.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Phil. AC2GS, by the way. Next up is Rich, W2BZ.
Yeah, thank you, Roy. Thanks, everybody. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Andy was a big NASCAR enthusiast. And out here in Riverhead, there's a short track, Riverhead Raceway. And a couple of summers ago, he came out, and I took him to Riverhead Raceway. And he was like a little kid. I felt I was took my son to watch baseball for the first time. He was just so excited about it. It was, he had this boyish wonder about everything. And it was a great experience for me. I was in TV production at one time in my career, and I had him convinced to let me, it took me a long time, and we were going to do it this month, to let me film him repairing a radio. And I thought I would put it on Limark's YouTube site. And I was very excited about that, but he was worried that there's a spot that I don't do well. Can I do it over? And I said, Andy, there's nothing you could do wrong about it. Just talk while you're fixing a radio and explain what you're doing. And I was very excited about doing that, but of course we didn't make it. So I do regret that, but he was a nice guy. He spent 2 hours on the phone with me explaining linear amplifiers. 2 hours a couple of months ago. And he would say, you know, he would ask me questions, and he'd say, it's not a test. I'm not giving you a quiz. I'm just asking you, do you know this or do you know that? And if I said no, he'd go into these long, great explanations about it. Anyway, what a ham radio operator. W2BC.
Thank you, Rich. Yes, he was a great ham radio operator. He was a great human being. And like I said before, he was very generous with his knowledge. He knew a lot of things, and one of his pleasures was to share it with people and talk about it. We would sit and talk about all kinds of different things, but especially when he got to radios and radio theory, and he would talk about the different circuits and what they did and how they worked and the different ways of getting them to work. And, you know, it was obvious that it was second nature to him. He just, you know, he didn't just understand it. He just knew it at the very heart of his being, his soul, if you will. So I will miss those conversations a great deal. And it's a shame that we missed out. That would have made a fantastic YouTube. I mean, I got the audio version over the phone very often. But it would have been nice to see a YouTube as well. You know, missed opportunities. Eric, who passed away a few years ago, always was nudging Dick, K2RIW, to do a short video presentation on antenna theory, which would be fascinating. But it never got around to being done, and so it doesn't exist. So for all the unfortunate things that could have been that aren't, you know, is a shame. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. I'm sure Andy, if he was listening to this feed, would have a red face and be a little embarrassed that everyone's talking about him. But it's only to say wonderful things because he was a wonderful person. Anyone want to go next?
AC2KY.
Yes, AC2KY. Yeah, the first person that I heard was AC2KY.
Yes, Roy, do you have a good copy on me?
Yeah, I have a good copy.
Thank you, and I echo all the sentiments and words that were said. I just wanted to say a few little bullet points. I met Andy approximately 20 years ago, and probably into a few years of knowing him, he invited me to go box hunting. And if anybody knows what an anxiety attack is, try, as Richard Casey said, try riding in the passenger seat of, you know, with Andy. He's doing five things very, very well. And I don't know who's steering the car. Do I still have it?
Yes, you have it. There's about 20% background noise, but you're understandable.
Roy, is this any better?
Yes, that's a lot better. You're full quieting now.
Okay, sorry for the radio complications. So that was my fox hunting experience with Andy, and he had a great love of the 2-meter repeater. I mean, just an unbelievable love. He asked me to sneak him Waxon portable radio into St. Francis many, many years ago. And as much as everybody's saying, I found Andy to be a very quiet, private man at the same time, too. But I did sneak him in that portable radio, and during his procedure at St. Francis, he was listening to everybody talk. Let me let it drop. The other thing I remember is I'm calling, we had these countless hours and hours and hours conversation about this ground loop problem he was experiencing at work. I think, Roy, you alluded to that. And we had a lot of brainstorming going on because I'm somewhat familiar with that. I don't want to take up the repeater. I just wanted to echo some of the things about Andy. People like John and certainly Dick and now Andy, unfortunately, it's rough. And Andy certainly made this hobby a pleasure. So thank you, Roy. AC2KY, back to Met.
AC2GS. Well, thank you, Warren. Yeah, I mean, these guys are irreplaceable. I mean, where do you find them? I mean, I wish I had the means to clone them, all three. I miss not talking to Dick anymore. I miss not talking to John. And now I find myself, unfortunately, I'll be missing not being able to talk to Andy. This aspect of life kind of sucks, but what can you do? Thank you, Warren. Thank you for your words. Was there someone else? I couldn't quite make out their signal, but I think there was another person trying to get in. So give it another try, please.
W1WR, Whiskey 1 Whiskey Oscar Radio.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. And sorry for the loss of WA2CDL. Commercial driver's license, I would tell Andy, former truck driver. And that's the class of license that we held. I got to meet Andy on the radio, on this repeater, when I first got my license in 2007. I live here in Greenwich, Connecticut, as we would say, across the pond there. And on my way to work, they would talk to many of them, and Andy was one of them. And got to meet Andy a number of times. On two different nets, the Lonely Guys nets on the AM portion, 3875 W1 QIX Steve would run, and we had a memorial there, and a lot of things were said about Andy. Too long to go on, and a great there, and the AM carrier net, which is on Sundays on 3835 N1VIV Joe up in Stonington, Connecticut, ran it. Let me drop it for a minute. And through the whole community, people that I talked to was shocked. I just spoke to him the other day on the radio. Spoke to him many times on the phone. He went to NearFest, and the people from NearFest that were there, Ted K1QAR, said, I just spoke to him. He was shocked. And Andy was a character. That's all I can say. He was a character, but in a funny way. He had his sense of humor. His heart was so big. A very smart amateur radio operator, and always willing to help. And he always said to me, Rob, my first name is, hey, let me know what you need. I'll come right over tomorrow. Let me know. Whatever you need, give me a call. He always was willing to help people. He was a great Elmer, a great mentor. I'm sorry if I'm getting a little misty here, but there's not enough time on the radio to talk about how good person and a fun person and a friend Andy made with everybody. He was along with the New York Police Department Communications. Friends of mine that were on the department knew him very well there. So Rest in peace, Andy. Thank you for all the things and the service that you've done for all us. We'll meet again someday in the big wire in the sky. Thank you for letting me get on WNWR, Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay, very good, Rob. Thank you. I think one of the first times I ever met Andy on the radio, I think he ID'd himself as commercial driver's license. So that acronym stuck.
Yeah, and 102 was a great thing. At your Hamfest. He set up booths at other Hamfests to help people say, you know, the guy that sold them radio. Yeah, it works. We all know that line. You could take it to him and test it and walk out satisfied. All right. Again, thank you, everybody. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome, Rob. Is there anyone who would like to go next?
Kilo Charlie 2, Tango November Tango.
Yes, Ruben.
Oh, thank you there, Roy. Good evening. Good evening to everybody. I don't know if you were able to copy me, but I've been listening. And I just wanted to say sorry for the family and the loss of Andy. I did not know him. I might have heard him a couple of times out here. And who knows, I might have spoken to him. You know, from the comments that I heard around, that he was a well-liked person and he had a good heart and everything, you know. And he did a lot of good deeds, you know, so he'll be missed. This is KC2TNT.
Okay, thank you very much, Ruben. Is there anyone who would like to go next?
BTYQN, handle is Chris.
Yes, Chris.
Thank you, Roy. Andy used to call our house regularly to talk to my father, K2RIW, now also gone. I will miss Andy because I got to talk to him when he would call. He was always friendly. He would always ask me, along with telling me what he was going, you know, what was going on with him, and the various projects he was working on. He would regularly talk to my father about, like, the situation with the subway, for instance. And to my knowledge, he never worked on the cameras, though, by the way. He never talked about the cameras. It was always about the cable and radio and metal shavings that would get in all the equipment from all the subway metal dust that would be down there. He talked about that a whole lot. There was all kinds of things. He would also ask me about what was going on with me. He would we'd get to talk regularly. And I will miss him. He was always friendly. And it doesn't surprise me to hear that he had tons of test equipment, knowing what I know about Andy. That sort of brings a smile to my face that he's always, you know, that other people always found him helpful. I didn't get to see him in person very often, but I always enjoyed discussing things with him. KB2IQN.
Thank you, Chris. I hope that all is well with you and yours. One of the stories that Andy used to tell me regularly, about a month or two, unfortunately, before your father passed away, your father loaded up a car and took it over to Andy and said, here, have fun. You know, and Andy said, I have no room for any of this. And your father said, you'll make room for it.
Yeah, one of the items I know he brought to Andy was an old AIL spectrum analyzer that my father had sitting in the ham room for forever. Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me that Andy, you know, would take it and not really have room for it, because who would not want to take a working spectrum analyzer?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. He used to love to retell me that story. And I just kind of, in my mind's eye, kind of pictured the two of them hauling this enormous anchor into his already overstuffed garage.
Well, my body has quite a strong memory of exactly what that feels like, because I just recently took the original prototypes AIL spectrum analyzer that was sitting in the basement for about 40 years and took that to recycling. So, I'm just to answer your question about how I am and how things are after my father's passing, I have an unbelievable job of what to do to with dispensation with all the various kinds of equipment, both inside, outside, and downstairs, just like Andy does. And so at some point, I'm going to want to ask people for, you know, for help, if you will, because it's about that time. Hopefully Andy has some family left for slowly working on that too. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for things to settle before it can be handled. And that's kind of where I was a couple of years ago.
82FIU.
Yeah, George recognized. I just wanted to add that at the tail of that story that Andy used to retell me was, Chris, your father used to threaten to bring over the other spectrum analyzer. He brought one, and he said, I have another one for you. I'm going to give it to you. And yeah, Andy said, I don't have room for this one. So it was always a dangling threat. So I am sure the club is more than willing to help out you in finding a good home for these things. You know, unfortunately, the go-to guy was always Andy. So I'm sure Limark will step up, and I'm sure you can contact Richie, K2KNB, and he'd be more than happy to help you. George, you wanted to say something?
Thank you, Roy. You summed it up. I have one, now I have two. Thank you. KD2FIU clear.
Okay, very good, George. So, Chris, it's good to hear from you. I've always been kind of curious how you're doing, so I'm glad you're doing well. And, I'm sure the club would be more than happy. You know, I mean, it has such a debt to your dear father. This entire TechNet is his. Thanks for coming tonight.
You're very welcome. Andy was a wonderful person, and it just made complete sense. KB2IQN back to net. Thank you very much, Roy.
You're very welcome. Okay, this is AC2GES, and this is the Limark Technical Net, very special one in which we are taking time to speak of our fallen friend, Andy, WA2CDL, who obviously meant a great deal to each and every person he ever met. I don't know of anyone who was apathetic about Andy. I didn't know anyone, except for the completely emotionally and mentally deranged, who had anything nasty to say about Andy. He was a very humble, very giving, very generous man. Anyway, who would like to be next? Yes, Wesley? Oh, very good, Bob. Thank you for telling us. It's all from the heart, from all of us. We dearly loved Andy. We will all miss him a great deal. And my heart goes out to the family, you and your wife and his other sisters and his nieces and nephews. He has a nice, big, extended family. He was very proud of all of them, and you were all, I'm sure, proud of him as well. So I'm glad that that you had the opportunity to hear this. As I mentioned to Richie, K2KNB, I will be uploading the audio file to my link page, roy.ac2gs.com, after This is over and done, so you can hold on to a copy of the audio file if you want.
W2MRK.
Yes, MRK.
Great guy, a giant of all men, very knowledgeable, humble, good-hearted, and thank him for sitting down with me many times, teaching me things, and day to day, and now has the highest power in the sky. That's in peace, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. Anyone want to go next?
Last memory.
Okay, we doubled here. So Wesley first, and then the person who doubled with Wesley second. So, Wesley, what do you want to say?
Yeah. Plenty of good memories. I'm talking about Chris's father and Andy and us. We were coming, me and Dr. Roy, and sometime Andy was, "Hi, Wesley, where is Dr. Roy?" So we were hoping to see Dick. I remember every time we came there, and I was in hope that legendary man, that beauty of it, kind, that something incredible that we heard every week. At the same time, Andy was in his corner, quiet, private man in his corner, helping others. I would love if you can say something about that, Dr. Roy.
Well, we talked before. Andy was a generous guy with his time and with his abilities, and he had no greater joy than to set up his tune-up table. He set it up, as far as I know, for almost every Hamfest. He missed maybe one or two, either because of some job-related situation or a health issue, but in general, he was there, rain or shine. And he extended it. He kind of nagged Sussex Hamfest into giving him a table to do it there. He went down south and set up a table there. He went to Florida and set up a table there. He went to Nearfest up northeast and set up a table there. You know, if there was any opportunity, he was considering even to go to Xenia, but he turned it down because he was just getting a little too tired. He was rather exhausted from Nearfest, I think, and he just wanted to take things easier for the next month or so. So he decided against Xenia. So that was always Andy's thing. It was always my hope to meet Dick. At least I had the pleasure of having more than a few conversations with him that I remember and I cherish. So I did have that. I had all the technical nets. I had the on-air conversations, the occasional phone calls. The only thing that I miss him and John May, rest in peace, is to actually meet them in person. Just that little personal contact that just wasn't to be.
I remember he was never having time just to regular talk. He was always busy with helping someone. Do you ever remember him not working on his radio with somebody sitting next to him?
Well, no, he was very focused on what he was trying to do. He was trying to help people, and although he would regularly tell me to come by and hang out with him, he was too distracted. He was busy working on the equipment. There was a couple of Hamfests where I set up a table right next to him doing the 3D modeling thing with the idea that I would be kibitzing him during the ham fest, I could never give it to him because he was had his head in a piece of equipment all the time. So I mean, that was a kind of a going thing. He would keep on saying, "You got to come, you got to keep me company." And I said, "You don't need company. You got to all that equipment to keep you company."
Yes, I was talking once to him. He asked where Dr. Roy. I said she didn't come. And I asked him, did she love his toys that she made on the printer, 3D printer? He said, well, I would love to have it, but I don't have a time to finish what I'm doing. Every time I finish, there's somebody else coming over. Yes, of course I would like to do it. I would like him to learn, to teach me how he does it. What is the mathematics? How he makes it? And that was how he makes it that I memorized. Back to you.
Yeah, I'll share my 3D printer story when it comes to Andy. Like most things, Andy had a lot of people give him broken things. Sometimes to fix, but other times they were going to throw it out, and they would say, I got this thing, it doesn't really work, do you want it? And being Andy, he would say, yeah, sure. One of the many things that he took off someone's hands was an old-style 3D printer. This particular one also incorporated a degree of 3D scanning. So theoretically, if it was working right, you could put an object into the device, and it would scan the reference points of the surface and give you some kind of a 3D model to work with. And we would talk about it endlessly of what seemed to be broken, and of course it was on the list of things he had to take a look at and try and fix that never got fixed, unfortunately. So in addition to all the other things sitting around in that house, someplace, somewhere, is a 3D printer that he was going to set up and figure out one of these days.
Yeah, by the way, Dr. Roy, I miss our trips to Hamfest and to Exia.
Yeah, I have to go back and say my hellos to a whole bunch of people. It's been I think I went there about a year and a half ago. COVID kind of screwed up everything. The last time I was there, you know, everyone was wearing masks. No one was wearing IDs. I didn't kind of know most of the people. They didn't know me. We'll have to do something about that down the road. But thank you, Wesley, for your memories, for good old Andy.
Yep.
Yes, Gary.
Just one more thing that came to mind. I was having a Q-show with Andy, and I don't know how it came up, but early information theory became the topic of our conversation. And, you know, I mentioned Shannon and Bell Labs and all that, and he goes, oh, yeah, we got a museum over there, and there's a whole exhibit dedicated to Shannon and all that. And he, of course, in keeping with character, you offered to take me, which we never got to do, so the lesson is carpe diem. To you.
Yes, indeed. I mean, if anything, that is the ongoing slogan for tonight. Seize the day. He made the same offer. We had the same conversation. He talked about Bell Labs. We talked about the history of Bell Labs, all the Nobel winners that came out of the Bell Laboratory system, and he particularly was fascinated by the guy who won the Nobel Prize for information theory. We talked a little bit about that and a bunch of other little things, and it must be a fascinating visit. It was a bit of a slog, because if he ever told you what he went through to get there, that he would start his day at around 5 o'clock in the morning. There were a lot of times where we might have had an Andy's Corner, but for the fact that he had to get up the next day at 5 o'clock in the morning to go on trains and planes and automobiles to get to the Bell Lab facilities.
Leave it it's in Murray Hill, New Jersey, and he told me it's not really, it's owned by somebody else now, but I don't know who. But apparently that museum of collection of exhibits they have there is really quite something. So, there you go. But anyway, the point is, just having talked about information theory with him, which I did study to some degree, the first thing he did was offer to take me and show me these things, which is very much in keeping with what we've been talking about in terms of this character all night. K-A-T-U-T-L.
Yes, indeed. I think it's a cell phone company from Finland that bought up the Bell Lab facilities.
K2K, Andy.
Yes, Richie.
I don't imagine you think it's Nokia, then.
Yeah, I think it was Nokia.
Roger, roger. Well, that's a good thing, since I'm half-ish. Okay, I'll turn it back to Ned, and thanks for the whole memorial. It's been really great.
You're welcome. Richie, you want to say something?
Yes, thanks, Ray. It's Katie Canby. And yes, it was Nokia. I had mentioned to one of Andy's sisters that Andy just seems to live by a different calendar than most of us. So in Andy's world, tomorrow could mean next week or next month. Next week could mean next month or next year. And next month could mean perhaps in a different century. So I had a 746 Pro that unfortunately had one of those serial numbers that there was going to most likely be a problem, which I think was an undersized heat sink that eventually blew the output transistors. So I called ICOM, and they said, well, you have to send it back to us because we have special tools to remove the boards, and, you know, we're the only ones that can just have to send it back to us. I mentioned this to Andy, and Andy said, no, do me a favor, get me the service manual, buy the service manual for me, and then give me the radio. And so I did. And sure enough, a year and a half later, I got my radio back working perfectly. The only problem was, and let me let you off, when I first gave Andy the radio, the only thing that I had for a backup was the AC817. And it took me about 5 minutes to know that QRP was not for me. And so when I mentioned that to Andy, he came over and dropped off a TS50 for me. And I used that for a little while. And it was complete, in fact. He dropped off a TS50 with the auto tuner, so it was a really nice little rig. But again, small screen, small dials. So a couple of days later, he dropped off a ICOM 756 Pro 2. And, you know, knew that unit, I think, was around $2,400, $2,800. So I was using something, wow, you know, a whole different world. And when time came for him to return my radio, I said, gee, you really have to do it, you know. But, of course, he kept me active for that year and a half. I had a great radio to work with. And, of course, the radio came back, fully repaired, oversized heat sink. Never was going to have a problem with that again. Back to Net, KTK and B.
AC2GS. That's a great story, Richie. Yeah. Andy, love him. He had a time management issue. I often joked with him that we need to kind of figure out how to put a couple more hours into each day for him, because he would offer his services to so many people that it was physically impossible for him to do all that. So, you know, and I think I only really nagged him once, not for my own stuff, which is sitting there at the detention center, but he had, like he made so many other offers, he had offered to help out a legally deaf, legally blind amateur radio operator in the area. He needed to have his hard line connected back to his connector, and I unfortunately nagged him a little bit to kind of expedite that. And so, you know, that was the only time I nagged Andy. But, you know, I love him dearly, but, you know, he was too nice. He made too many offers. He took too many things to repair. You know, he could have had a couple of partners in crime with all the work that he had left to do.
to AVG.
Yes, AVU. Yes, I don't know if I got the call sign right. KB2 AVU.
Kilo Bravo 2 Alpha Zulu Golf.
Okay, Alpha Zulu Golf. Okay, Alpha Zulu Golf. What would you like to say?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm the other Andy. I met Andy, incidentally, back when I first met and joined Limelight, and we both have a passion for fixing radios. I think I get the only time I used to get on the radio is when I fixed one and there was a contest, and I could listen to it, talk to anybody, and we hit it off back then. We were just learning to repair radios, and, you know, I was working, life got in the way, but we were back and forth and back and forth, came over to my house, met the family, and it was, he was a good guy, and basically we had picked each other's brains. I haven't been in cameras since 1975. He was always interested in anything electronic. One was broken, he wanted to learn about it, and the last thing we talked about was two things. We're putting a hand-tilted zoom on his tower, which he finally got up after 15 years or something. I don't know. Took him a little while. We got to put a camera up. I got catfish wire. And I said, okay, I'll work on the IP network and how to forward it. It's, you know, that's part of things I have to do. And I moved to North Carolina. So I was looking forward to him coming here to go to Shelby Hamfest. He stays over here. My family knows him, and he's different parts of my family because he used to come over the house, and he's my dog. He doesn't like, it's not that he doesn't like dogs, he's just allergic to them, I think that's what it was. So that, and working my IFR 1600S, which he has one. He has, I don't know how many service monitors he has, but I said, so I'll just buy it off you. And he says, no, we're going to work on it together. Well, unfortunately, it can't happen now, but I was looking forward to him to come over here and stay for a while and cruise and stay instead of going to an infested, I guess, place where he left and he got bug bites that lasted him a year, and I was there when all that happened. So it was, you know, and my whole family can't believe that, you know, it was just talking to him. So I just wanted to say, give my 2 cents in there and say I was looking forward to him coming to Shelby this year. I think he didn't want to go to the last Amfest, the near Fest was too much. 82 AC2.
AC2GS. Well, thank you, Andy. Yeah, I remember that bed bug ordeal that he went through at the time. And I don't know. Recently, he had some computer problems that I tried to help talk him through. And, you know, it was an interesting experience. Yeah, he finally got the tower raised. He got his mast put up. He was working on his Gap Titan on the garage roof. You know, he always had things to do. I don't think he kind of saw his future as ever having been finished. It was always in the process of being done.
Yeah, well, he got, you know, he always spent himself like everybody says, and he actually entertained moving down here. He liked it here. I said, you think you need a couple of truckers to come down here? I don't think it's going to take too long. It's going to be a few years before you get down here with all the things you got to pack up. He entertained it. He liked it down here, but I said, look, we'll just talk on the radio, which was supposed to be this weekend now they got his tower up, but unfortunately, can't. So, yeah, but you said he was very interesting, and I guess in my name, our namesake, I guess, grew together. We spent a lot of time together fox hunting and working on projects over the phone, back and forth. But, I'm going to miss him a lot. AB2ABG.
Okay, thank you very much, Andy. Yeah, we're all going to miss him. He was a unique individual. I do not think I will find his like again. Anyone want to go next?
WA2H. Some more.
Okay, there was doubling. Lou first.
All righty. Yeah, you know, words fail, and in this case, awesomely, he really was quite a guy. Yeah, I'm going to miss him so much, and I'm sure a lot of you are also. And he was really, 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 really a great guy. Now, I met some of his family today, and they're beautiful people also. And it's probably has to do with you know, his personality. But what I want them to know, because I know they're listening, is when people say they went out fox hunting with Andy, they weren't killing foxes. They were looking for hidden transmitters. Just want to make that clear. I'm back to that. Go ahead, Roy, NY2H.
Okay, Lou. Yeah, I guess that's a good point to be made. I don't think Andy had it in him to do more than squish a bug. I'm even questioning that. I'll tell a short story. He had this weird problem with wild birds. There was this little opening in the front of his house, I think, and there was this small cavity. I think it used to be an air vent or something, and every spring a bird would come and nest and breed the next generation of birds. And he saw them come and he saw them go, and he said to himself, that's nice, I like that, but it's probably not the best thing for the house. So I have to do something about it. And like most things, it didn't quite get done. So the next spring, the bird came back and laid eggs. And the eggs grew up and left. And he started to work on bird-proofing it, but he hadn't quite finished. And between that time, the bird had returned to breed a second time, which is somewhat unusual, but nevertheless, and it went completely awry, and the eggs failed and died, and he was very sad about the whole darn thing.
Yeah, let me see if I have it. So, you know, I've been with him at Nearfest. I was with him down in Florida. In fact, I picked him up from the airport, drove him around because I had my car down there. And basically, we went out to eat one night. We have a picture. I think they put the picture in one of the club publications or something. About 8 or 10 of us. And Andy really expressed himself in a way that I hadn't seen before, in terms of the club, the history of the club, the camaraderie. And it was heartfelt, talking about how we help each other. He expressed himself so deeply from the heart. And I had forgotten about this, but Al Binder, who was there, mentioned it to me again recently. He says, remember? And I go, yeah, you know. So Al said he thought maybe Andy had some kind of premonition or whatever. I don't know that it went that far, but he was certainly in touch, and he was sensitive. He almost reminds me of Vincent Van Gogh, you know, in the sense of being creative and maybe not totally understood, but you know. He said he would blush if he heard this. That's the problem. We don't hear this until it's too late, and then we never do hear it. So, you know, as Dick would say, be kind to each other. And, you know, you got to say it while we're here. But great Ned, and, you know, I love him, and I'll miss him.
Yeah, I do too, Lou. Thank you very much. Someone else wanted to say something? Is it doubled with Lou? You want to try again?
WA2FCY.
Yes, Larry.
Let me get the beep. Okay, yeah, some people said some things, and then it kind of brought up some other things I thought about. Chet was talking about the hole in the closet for the receiver going up to the attic. But it wasn't just the attic. Andy built a complete station in the that part of the attic. He ran heavy-duty...